Well, good morning. It's been another week, and so much has happened in the last week. I just want to take a minute before we get into our lesson this morning and just tell our congregation thank you so much for all that you all have been doing. We have had a great turnout this last Sunday for the writing on our new auditorium walls on the studs, and it's been fantastic to see all the different prayers and scriptures that have been blessing our building on that. It's so exciting knowing that those things are going to be there, and that God is intervening in everything that's kind of going on. And all of you all that were able to come in and see the different work that's been done in the auditorium already, it is just fascinating to see the work that they're doing, and it's so exciting to see the opportunities that are going to be coming about from that. I especially love the relocation of the baptistry, and I know that my personal prayer is that so many souls will come to Jesus and be put into those waters, and to be able to rise up and to be able to grow his church through just that opportunity there alone. I also want to make sure to say thank you. It was just, it's exciting to see all the different donations for the children's home that were brought in as well for those of you all coming in over this last weekend. The box is just teeming and overfilling full of supplies for them, and I know they are so appreciative of that. Finally, I just want to say thank you for everyone who's been going online and posting their prayer requests on the prayer wall. And for everyone that's been going on there and praying for those prayer requests, I know it means so much to me. I know my name gets on there on occasion when things are kind of going on with my health. And to just get a notification that somebody is praying for me just means so much. I know that so many do, but just getting to hear it and remind me and others that there are people that care. And it just means so much. And I just want to say thank you for doing that. We really appreciate you, congregation. We're really excited to see where God is leading us over this next week. My favorite color, what I look like if I was in the apocalypse, the movie from 1989. You know, it's been amazing to me as I've looked on Facebook this week and tried to spend some time just doing some research and different things, how often it is that we are desperately trying to reconnect with other people. I've noticed that, I don't know about you guys, but I've seen several posts from different relatives and other people saying, hey, how well do you know me? What's my favorite color? What do I like to do? Fill out these 10 questions. And it's been a lot of fun looking at some of them, or maybe for you, you filled out the one that said, what all states have I been to? And it's colored in the different states. There's been all kinds of things in different ways that people have tried to make a connection with someone else because of the situation that we're in. You know, it's kind of funny to me that in this time, it really gives us an opportunity to reconnect. And that's what I want to talk today about, is just a little bit about the idea of reconnecting. You know, we take a lot of time to do certain things out of our home, and right now we have a chance to really come back to some things. Maybe for you, you've reconnected to your kitchen. Remember that place where you used to cook meals? And now all of a sudden, we're cooking a lot of meals. And we're doing a lot of stuff at home. Maybe you've reconnected with your inner child, playing a little bit more Candyland or Monopoly, making some time to do some puzzles, or maybe getting to that novel that you were meaning to read for a long time. Maybe you started it two or three times, but now you're actually just able to have some quiet time to finish it, but you're reconnecting. You know, there's a set of scriptures that really makes me think a lot about reconnecting that Jesus does some parables in succession in Luke chapter 15. He talks about three different parables in this concept of reconnecting. He talks about the first, the lost sheep. Then he talks about the lost coin, and finally he finishes up with the lost son. Each one of these, I think, are a great opportunity for us to see what God is thinking, but I wanted to kind of look at it a little bit of a different way today. You know, in these stories, Jesus tells these to make sure that we understand the significance of each one of us and what God is willing to do to reconnect with us. He starts off with a nice big number where you've got a shepherd and he's got 100 sheep and he loses one. And he goes and he finds the one, because the one is still as important as the other 99. Then he goes into the story of the lost coin, and I want to kind of look at that one in just a second, where there is 10 coins, and finally ends with just one son that he really wants to talk about, the one lost son. You know, the story of the lost coins, it reminds me of something that happened to me just a few years ago. We were doing some fostering, and we had a toddler named Caven. And I was running late for work one morning, and I was looking for my keys. You know, we've all been there, right, where we misplace our keys. And I looked around, and I knew where I'd kept them, and they weren't there. And I accused, you know, Nova of possibly moving them, and she said she hadn't. And I asked the kids, and no one had seen them. And we had just kept on looking, and I searched through all the cushions in the couch and the chairs, and I went through all my jeans, and I went through the laundry, and I went through my nightstand and different things, and I looked, and we just started cleaning everywhere, trying to find these keys. Finally, just totally frustrated and at a loss, I just didn't know what else to do. Nova had already left, and I was just there frustrated. And I looked, and I asked this toddler, Caven, who was 2 years old at the time, and I said, "Do you know where my keys are?" And he smiled, and he said, "Yes." And I said, "Where are my keys?" And he pulled out one of my shoes out of the closet. And Caven had put my keys inside one of my shoes in my closet. And I can remember whenever he brought out the keys to me, how excited I was to actually have the keys that got me into the church building, that got me into the car to be able to go to work and spend some time with that. And I can remember calling Nova to the other room and saying, "Hey, Nova, look, here are the keys. I can't believe that we actually found them. I thought they were gone." And I look at this story, and it reminds me so much of that time whenever I read this. Why don't you go ahead and read it with me here in Luke 15, chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This sense of reconnecting and the excitement of having a desire and the ability to reconnect. You know, whenever we try to reconnect, there is a process that tends to happen. And we really see this very well in the next parable that Jesus tells of the lost son. I want to kind of break down this parable a little bit with you and show you where I see the idea of reconnecting and how it can help us in our opportunities to reconnect as well. Starting in verse 13. He says, "Not long after that, the young son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there was squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen in the country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs." The first point I wanted to get to is this. For us to be able to reconnect with people, or to have a reconnection in anything, the first thing that we really need to do is to acknowledge that there's a disconnect. We need to be able to see that there is a disconnect in what's going on with us. We need to be able to notice that things just aren't the way they should be. The young man there understood that. Whenever his wealth was gone, whenever things weren't looking the way that he thought that they would, he noticed that there was a disconnect. His stomach kind of told him there was a disconnect. His lack of being able to stay in a nice hotel anymore was an ability to show him that there was a disconnect. When we look back in verse 15, we see the next point that I wanted to get to you guys with. And he says this, so he went to and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. For us to have a good connection, to be able for us to reconnect, the first thing we have to do is acknowledge that there's a disconnect. But the second thing that we really need to be able to do is to desire a change. For each one of us, this is so important. You know, a lot of times we realize that we're disconnected with some things. Maybe it's in our relationship with somebody else that we've cared about for a long time, but it just seems like it's slipped away. Or maybe it's in our relationship with God right now. Sometimes we feel like there's this disconnect. But it doesn't do anything to just feel that there's a disconnect. Think about it. Think about that high school friend that you think about every once in a while. You know that the connection is not there like it used to be, but are you doing anything about it? Is it really changing if you just understand that there's a disconnect? Is there a connection because you know that there's not a connection right now? No. It takes a little bit more. And he understood that. So what the son did was he decided that he was going to do something about it. You have to desire change. Second point, so important. In verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. His desire to change got real. It really got real. And thirdly, we need to decide to make it happen. See, he saw that there was a problem. He finally desired to make something different. And lastly, he decided to make it happen. Look what he does in verse 17 through 19. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against you and against heaven. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. His desire to do something different made him do something. You know, there is a lot of times when we sit and we think, I would just like to have a better relationship with God. I would love to have a better prayer life. I would love to have a time that's just more meaningful with the Lord. I would love to have better spirits about things. It's one thing to acknowledge that we don't have it. We need to desire to do more. And then finally, make it happen. Make it happen. Same with relationships. There are so many people right now that are making it happen. They're contacting old friends. They're making the phone calls that they just weren't making before. They're checking up on their elderly mother and father, which they used to not do every day like they do now. They're making it happen. For some of you guys, your honey-do list got really long whenever you're at the house every day. And instead of talking about, well, one day I'm going to get on to that, now you're making it happen. And that's great. You know, when we're trying to make it happen in our relationship with God, we have to do something. There's certain things that we can do. And the scripture I look at that really helps me focus in on that is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. It says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, a lot of times for us to make something happen, we've been given a clue on what we do. We go through prayer and petition. Well, what does that look like? You know, Jesus, a lot of time whenever he was petitioning, did something really radical. He did this thing called fasting. He took away something that meant a lot to him in food, and he focused on God instead. You know, there's all kinds of fasting that can be done. You know, we typically think of it just as a food thing, but it's not. I want to challenge you this week to take some time to do some prayer and petition. take some time to really desire and to do something about that relationship that you're wanting to reconnect with. You want to reconnect with God? Go to Him in prayer. Petition Him. Show Him that you really want to have a relationship that's more meaningful this week. Maybe your fasting is from going online. Maybe it's from the television this week. Or maybe it's from food. Whatever it may be, take some time this week to reconnect. I promise you, when you reconnect, you feel so much better. Your hopes and your desires and your dreams become more focused. And you understand that He's the one. God is the one that can make a difference in those. We've been very blessed as people to have so much when there are so many that have so little. And sometimes when we strip some of those things away, it reminds us that we need to really focus in on who is the giver of all things, which is God. God is so good to us. And sometimes when we reconnect to Him, we realize more and more what He has done and what He's continually doing for us. Well, it's been another great week, and I've been told that we're going to have a few more, that we're going to kind of be in our homes. I want to point out a few things, and I know I've been kind of talking a little bit about this, that you have great opportunities to share with others. This week, take some time to reconnect. If you've not made that phone call to a family member and checked up on them, go ahead and do that. If you've not checked on your neighbor, take some time to do that. As I've been talking about this, maybe you've been talking about you've been thinking, boy, I really need to reconnect with a high school friend or a coworker that I've not talked to in a few weeks. Go ahead and take some time and do that. Remember, first we have to acknowledge that there's something that's just not the way that we want it to be. Then we need to have a desire to do something about it. And finally, make it happen. It's totally up to you to make it happen. You're the one that's going to make a difference. Have a great week. We look forward to seeing you again soon.